Tom? What's gone with that boy, I wonder? You, Tom? I never did see the beat of that boy. She went to the open door and stood in it, lifted up her voice at an angle calculated for distance, and shouted, You, Tom! There was a slight noise behind her, and she turned just in time to seize a small boy by the slack of his roundabout and arrest his flight. There! I might have thought of that closet. What have you been doing in there? Nothing. Nothing. Look at your hands and look at your mouth. What is that truck? I don't know, Aunt. Well, I know. It's jam, that's what it is. 40 times I've said if you didn't let that jam alone, I'd skin you. Hand me that switch. The switch hovered in the air. The peril was desperate. My, look behind you, Aunt. The old lady whirled around and snatched her skirts out of danger, and the lad fled on the instant, scrambled up the high board fence, and disappeared over it. His Aunt Polly stood surprised a moment, and then broke into a gentle laugh. Hang the boy! Can't I ever learn anything? Ain't he played me tricks enough like that for me to be looking out for him by this time? He'll play hooky this afternoon, and I'll just be obliged to make him work tomorrow to punish him. It's mighty hard to make him work Saturdays when all the boys is having a holiday, but he hates work more than he hates anything else, and I've got to do some of my duty by him, or I'll be the ruination of the child. Tom did play hooky, and he had a very good time. He got home pretty late that night, and when he climbed cautiously in at the window, he uncovered an ambuscade in the person of his aunt. And when she saw the state his clothes were in, her resolution to turn his Saturday holiday into captivity at hard labor became adamantine in its firmness. Saturday morning was come, and all the summer world was bright and fresh and brimming with life. Tom appeared on the sidewalk with a bucket of whitewash and a long-handled brush. He surveyed the fence, and the gladness went out of nature, and a deep melancholy settled down upon his spirit. 30 yards of broad fence, 9 feet high. Sighing, he dipped his brush and passed it along the topmost plank, repeated the operation, did it again, compared the insignificant whitewash streak with the far-reaching continent of unwhitewashed fence, and sat down on a tree box discouraged. He began to think of the fun he had planned for this day, and his sorrows multiplied. Soon the free boys would come tripping along on all sorts of delicious expeditions, and they would make a world of fun of him for having to work. The very thought of it burned him like fire. At this dark and hopeless moment, an inspiration burst upon him. Nothing less than a great, magnificent inspiration. He took up his brush and went tranquilly to work. Ben Rogers hove in sight presently, the very boy of all boys whose ridicule he had been dreading. As Ben drew near, he slackened speed, took the middle of the street, leaned far over to starboard, and rounded to ponderously and with laborious pomp and circumstance, for he was personating the steamer Big Missouri, and considered himself to be drawing 9 feet of water. Tom went on whitewashing, paid no attention to the steamer. Ben stared a moment and then said,
"Aye, aye, you're up a stump, ain't you?"
No answer. Tom surveyed his last touch with the eye of an artist. Then he gave his brush another gentle sweep and surveyed the result as before. Ben ranged up alongside of him.
"Hello, old chap. You gotta work, hey?"
"Why, it's you, Ben. I weren't noticing."
"Say, I'm going in a swimming, I am. Don't you wish you could? But of course you'd rather work, wouldn't you? Of course you would."
Tom contemplated the boy a bit and said,
"What do you call work?"
"Why, ain't that work?"
Tom resumed his whitewashing and answered carelessly,
"Well, maybe it is and maybe it ain't. All I know is it suits Tom Sawyer."
"Oh, come now, you don't mean to let on that you like it."
The brush continued to move.
"Like it?"